You're listening to the Social Selling Simplified Podcast. Stick around if you too are obsessed with learning things that actually work and believe that success leaves clues. We're all about identifying results-producing roadmaps and getting super clear on how to scale and grow your online business. From part-timer to president, social selling expert Ashley Shaw will help you connect the dots and take the guesswork out of what works to grow a social selling empire. It's time to hear from social selling legends, listen in on truthful conversations, and learn the best tips and tricks to reduce the marketing overwhelm so you can build a social selling business of your dreams. If you're ready to go all in, no holding back, and build the business you've always wanted, you're in the right place. Here's your host, educator, social selling guru, and fitness industry OG, Ashley Shaw.
Welcome to Social Selling Simplified. I'm your host, Ashley Shaw, and today I have Nicole Howson with me, and we are going to talk all about social media marketing. So Nicole is the owner of AIM Social Media, and she's an award-winning social media strategist and consultant, and her work is really focused around reducing clients' ad spend while growing their brand awareness and increasing their sales leads. In only 6 years, Nicole has worked with clients globally, decreasing the cost of ad spend by 91% and increasing traffic by 26% in as little as 30 days. So I'm super pumped to chat with Nicole. We were just getting acquainted before we started recording here. And I always love sitting down with people that are like, we're in obviously like a very like similar space. We see the same things in terms of the marketing world. And so I'm really pumped to dig into this idea that I hear all the time from social sellers that they're looking for ready to buy customers. And we're going to break this down for you guys and have just a really honest chat about what it takes to find ready to buy customers and our take on exactly how you get in front of them and what it takes to get there. So thank you so much for being on the show today, Nicole.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely. So Nicole, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself first? I know that in the areas where we both are now out in Ontario, it's very common to grow up on a farm. And I think your story is fairly similar. So let's get a rundown. How did you get into what you're doing now? And just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I was raised on a dairy farm and cash crop farm. My dad has no idea where I came from because I'm the least farm girl you will ever find. I started my business about 6 years ago and just fell in love with social media. I had taken a social media marketing course in college and just loved the whole thing. I was running for student president and I used everything that they taught me and applied it. And I won and I was super excited. I was like, okay, I can totally do this for other people. So I had taken on my first client. They were in the US and they had a sister company in the UK. And I went to school for business marketing. By the time I graduated, I had enough of a client base that it didn't make sense to shut it all down and get a job at an agency somewhere. So I just made a go of it.
That's awesome. It's nice to know what you want to do so early and that like all those dots connected for you so quickly. So what is it about? Let's just first, before we dive into strategy, what is it that like has drawn you to marketing and social media marketing?
Yeah, I just love the creative side of things and the strategy of it. But really the part that really gets me is the building relationships with people online. I think it's almost easier for just about anybody to be able to be a little bit more outgoing on social media. I'm an introvert, but I can come across as an extrovert on social media. I love building the relationships with people and just studying how content can build those relationships and make you feel like you know somebody even though you've never met them.
Yeah, for sure. It's an interesting area to be in because it's this combination of creativity and then also science and data all like woven together. Yeah, it's a really interesting sector to be in for sure. And I think that's one misconception that I find a lot of social sellers will get wrapped up into is like there is this side of it that is definitely the creative side. And then there's this also side of like testing and putting things out there to see what works and not it not being personal, but it being like legit, it's just a test. Like the little things, right? Like the time of day you're posting, things like that. So it's nice to have that balance of both, you know, like to be like have a creative outlet, but then also know that there are things you can tweak and yeah, just things you should be always testing to see what's working better.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I guess that falls under the strategy side of things, but every time somebody asks for advice, I'm like, you know what, you're going to have to test it because everybody's audience is a little bit different, right? And so everybody's target audience responds differently. It's definitely, there's a lot of testing, but I geek out on all of that.
Love it. All right. Awesome. So I want to dive into this idea of ready to buy customers a little bit further, because this is definitely something that I know a lot of social sellers are looking for, and they feel like they're missing the boat here. They're putting their message out there, but nobody is coming to them saying they're ready to buy, or that they're like, yeah, like, where do I pay? You know, that sort of idea. So I wanted to have a little bit of a discussion around this and why that might be a dangerous belief to have. So do you want to talk a little bit about that? Like the, you know, this idea of ready to buy customers and how that really exists in social media when you're creating your content and your marketing strategy?
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's this whole mindset, like build it and they'll come, right? And we all fall into that trap of like, you know what, I have this amazing product and everybody's going to see the value in this. And so you post it on social media and people tend to turn into this like infomercial where you're like, look at this product. It has all of these benefits, and they kind of bombard people with all this content and information, but you're not really doing anything to convince people to buy. Like, there's so many products out there. I mean, you can tell me that something's really great for my skin, but there's also 100 other different options that are coming my way telling me the same thing. And so it's more than just putting content out there that's saying, this is what I can do for you, and a lot of building those relationships with your audience first, and so that way they're more convinced to participate.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point, because it's like whenever you consider buying from somebody, we always go back to who we know, like, and trust first. So like you're saying, I think sometimes we forget that there is a ton of competition, especially around like health and fitness, beauty products. I think also all of that combined with like what the world has sort of been going through too in the last like 4 months, with, you know, people being at home much more than ever before. So like advertising in itself is just, I can only imagine people are being, when you're on the computer more, you're going to be advertised to more. So there's all that being thrown into this, but it really is being able to answer that question. Why should they choose you? Like, what makes you different? And unless you're able to articulate that and then like weave that through your content, it can be really frustrating if you're just putting stuff out there and crossing your fingers and hoping for the best.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think you nailed it with people need to know, like, and trust you. And so that's where kind of there's three E's that we focus on. And so there's engagement, entertainment, and education. And so if you're doing one of those three things in your content, a lot of people are going to resonate a little bit more with it than just posting just random content to get out there. Some of the companies that I would go to are the ones that are engaging with me on social media quite a bit. There's a window company here locally, and I feel like I'm best friends with their social media manager. I have no idea who runs it. I would love to meet them in person because they're amazing. I don't need new windows in my home, but if anybody does, like, hit me up. I know exactly who to send you to because they've built this really great relationship with me through social media. So it's companies like that where they're putting in the work and they're standing apart that way. That's going to make you want to go with them. Companies that are just pushing, like, this is what sale is happening right now, or this is the new product, and they're not providing any other value other than that, they're not going to catch my attention. And I think that's the same for a lot of people because we are marketed to so much online.
Absolutely. I love that, the three E's. So let's break those down a little bit and determine what those may look like. So when we talk about engagement, how would you define that? And what does it look like? What do you need to do as a social seller online to be engaging?
Yeah, so that's where you would want to post. And I recommend this for almost any post anyway, but posting a lot of questions, getting people engaged and getting them to comment. You want to give them a reason to comment. Sometimes it's fun stuff. I've seen this post a million times. It works every time. Brussels sprouts, yes or no? And it seems like such a random thing. But it always blows up because apparently it's same with the pineapple on pizza. It gets engagement every time. And so, I mean, you don't have to post something completely out there like that, but something very simple that's going to get people to engage. And it kind of falls under that entertainment thing too. I mean, if you scroll through the comments of threads like that, it's hilarious. So
I think that's such a great point. And it's like knowing your audience enough to know what they're actually going to engage with. Like one thing that pops into my head, I tend to deal with a ton of health and fitness coaches. And one thing that always blows my mind is when I see these recipes of like their protein shakes and smoothies and different things like that. And they like are throwing a ton of vegetables in them. And I just want to say, I want to get there. I want to be able to put broccoli and cauliflower and all the things in my shake. I'm not there though. So that to me is like, you know, it's this combination of knowing like what your ideal customer is up to and what, you know, like what their day-to-day routine and the things they think about, what that looks like, and being able to place that question in front of them. Like that's where I see engagement blow up. Like when you combine that, like, you know what they think about. Maybe they have kids at home. Maybe they don't. Maybe they're, you know, like a dog mama or dog father, something like that, you know, but you know them well enough to know what is the question that needs to be put in front of them to make that engagement blow up.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the things that I love doing when we start working with a client is we do this whole brain dump of like, what podcasts are they listening to? What blogs are they on? What social media pages are they following? What TV shows are they watching? Mm. And when you go through and kind of determine that, I mean, there was Game of Thrones when they had their finale that was huge on social media, and anybody whose target audience was in there could jump in on that. Same with Star Wars, and Baby Yoda was huge. If you can use things like that and jump on those trends, if it makes sense with your target audience, you're going to find you're going to get a lot of engagement that way.
Yeah, I love that. Great, great advice. All right, let's jump into entertain. What does that mean?
Yeah, so sometimes that's a viral video. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's an article that's funny or sharing a thread, or it can be a meme. It could be really anything as long as you're getting some sort of positive reaction to it. I mean, you can go the negative side of things, but for the most part, it's a positive reaction. You're entertaining them. Essentially, they're getting some sort of value out of your content, and they're likely to want to share it with other people.
I always watch for that on my social media feed to see like, oh, what am I like most inclined to share right now? Like if I scroll through my feed, and I always love to reshare the stuff that I would share. And there's this one that I love that is this, it's like funny, but true, you know, one of those. And it's that post about like, your obituary will never read. She was 15% body fat and had a booty like J-Lo and this and this and this. And like, it's those sort of things I think about when I think of like entertainment is like, what would I share or what have I shared in the past that I didn't even think about it? I just shared it because I was like, oh, so relatable or so true or so funny. It's like you just add that to the beginning of it and you're like, yeah, that's the type of content that is entertaining for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. And I love scrolling through my feed. And if I see that like four or five people have all shared the same thing, I'm like, okay, there's clearly something here that's working. And so you can take that, whether you reshare it yourself or you create your and model after it and create your own content based off of that, it works almost every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love that. All right. And what about education?
Yeah. So this is where you can partner talking about the benefits of your product or your service, or something related to the industry. So for example, like I work with businesses on social media, but maybe I'm going to talk about ways to use Zoom more effectively, because right now we're all using Zoom calls to communicate with our teams. It's a way to educate, but it's getting that engagement again that we need on social media. Every time somebody engages with content on your page, more people see it, right? So that's the goal, is to get them to engage with it, but educating them in some way, talking about the benefits of your product or your service, the different features, that sort of thing. If you're careful and you don't come across as an infomercial, add a little personality in there, and make it sound like it's coming from an actual person and not some sort of corporate drone, then you're going to find good results.
And so when it comes to educate, we've got sort of this idea that it can be, of course, about potentially your product. I know in the social selling world, we do a lot of like curiosity marketing. So we don't specifically like, you wouldn't specifically say like, oh, this is the exact program or things like that. Like we tend to maybe educate in a way that is about, it could be like the benefits of like protein and having enough, or, you know, the benefits of accountability and how that plays into your success rate when you're trying to achieve a health and fitness goal or things like that. So educate could really be, it could be about your product for sure, or it could be about, it's almost like, I sort of look at it as like knocking over dominoes. It's like, you know, they need to understand this piece of information before they're going to be convinced that my product is right for them. And it's like, you know, have you ever seen the Simon Sinek Start With Why video?
I don't think I have.
Okay, I feel like I'm dating myself because this was like, I'm not sure how many years ago now it was that it came out. It might have been about 8 years or more ago. But what I love about it, I'm going to butcher this a little bit, but I'm still going to go right in for it. So what Simon Sinek talks about is that there are three layers to, you know, when you think about in the inner circle, the golden circle is why you do what you do, or why, like your why. Then if you look outside of that, the circle around that is how you do what you do. And then the most outer circle is what it is, like what the product actually is. Yeah. And so he has this like amazing example of Apple and how Apple communicates, and how Apple, they never start with what. They're not like, oh, look at, we have this iPhone and this is how many cameras it has on the back, and this is the pixels, this is the retina screen that we've put on, and this is the storage. Like you'd never ever hear Apple communicate like that. Apple always starts with why. So in their commercials or in their anything that they put out there for marketing, they're always showing you like the FaceTime video that you can have with your grandkids and the quality of that and how close it keeps you together as a family, even if you might live in different places. So they communicate with starting with why, versus a lot of companies, like they compare, they do this really great, Simon Sinek does this great example with like Dell and Apple. And he says like Dell starts with what they do, right? With this gigabyte processor and this much storage. And it just, that sort of stuff doesn't motivate people.
Absolutely.
So I think that where I really like the education piece is you can teach people not only why you do what you do, but why this solution actually works. So an example of this could be, let's say we are talking in the health and fitness industry, and somebody, you know, is, let's say they're struggling with weight loss, and they can't get their like eating and cravings like under control. One of the reasons that could be is that they're not getting enough protein and it's not filling them up. So I think that the educate is a really cool way that you can talk about why that may be happening to them. And then the solution just happens to be that shake or that product that helps give you that extra bit of protein when you don't want to eat like chicken breast all day long.
Exactly.
Stuff like that. So that's a really cool one. Yeah. I'll have to link that in the show notes. It's an oldie, but like Simon Sinek, oh man, he had some great stuff back in the day. I think he's come out with some books recently, but I just love the way that he weaves that, the messaging in around how people's brains function and why the order of the way that you talk to people really, really makes a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. We talk a lot about leading with value first. Mm-hmm. And people are more likely to trust you and your product, your service, your business, if you're leading with that value. I've had instances where I've just provided pure value with no pitch whatsoever, and then launched a product and put it out there. And people are like, oh my gosh, this is a no-brainer, because I've already proved that I know what I'm talking about, right? So it's not, and all that pre-marketing was just providing pure value. I wasn't looking for anybody to buy anything. I was just educating. And then it just makes it easier later on.
Absolutely. And so let's talk about that. So now we've got a bit of a foundation for what the social media like strategy itself looks like. How does pitching fall into this? And what, you know, how do you recommend making sure that you're, you know, there's this balance, I think people always feel of like, oh, like I don't want to bombard my audience. But at the same time, there is always a solution that can help them when you have a product that is right for them. So how do you recommend balancing that? And yeah, what is your advice on pitching?
Yeah, so I love being able to twist it in the sense that you're getting people to message you. If they can, if you can get them to reach out to you, it makes the selling process a whole lot easier because they're already asking questions. And then you can just provide more value and direct them to whatever you have for them. Yeah, I like switching it that way. Starting conversations, if you are going to pitch people, doing it in a way where you're not just spamming people with like, hey, this is my new product, or this is what I have. And people are, they can see it from a mile away. They're not even going to respond to you because they have no reason for it, right? So you want to be a little bit creative and build those relationships ahead of time. One of the things I see all the time, it's super annoying, is people will friend me on Facebook and I'll add them. And then literally 2 seconds later, they're like, hey, do you have any fitness goals? And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I know what you're doing.
Yeah, it always starts with either the hey girl, I call it the hey girl hustle, or hey pretty lady. I get that sometimes too. And yeah, you're right. It's like you can just instantly tell that it's not an authentic relationship, which is so off-putting, and immediately you've made a decision like, I'm not going to engage with this person.
Exactly. Yeah. Like some of the people who have slid into my DMs and they did it really creatively is they've engaged with my content. I've gotten to know them in the comments or something. And then when they message me, they're like, hey, how's business going? And I'm like, good. And I'm more likely to, I might still not want to buy their product or service or whatever it is that they're selling me. But I'm not offended by it because they've built up that trust with me. I already know them a little bit. So I'm more willing to have that conversation.
Yeah, for sure. I think that there's a delicate balance of this where I know that, you know, oftentimes it comes from either people are taught this, that this is the way to do it, or maybe they see other people doing it and then being like sort of successful with it. So they just automatically assume it's the only way, but they sort of lose their authenticity in going in and doing this. But what I always recommend is you want to use social media posts to build curiosity, to really like let people self-select if you are for them or not. Like it's sort of your platform to, I think of it as like you're walking down the street and you are making eye contact with people and you're sort of seeing who lingers and who wants to have a conversation. That's what, you know, your social media posts are for. They're not to like get the whole deal done right on the street, right? You're like passing by people and seeing who's engaging. And then after you see someone a couple of times, you're like, hey, Nicole, I feel like we have a lot in common. I would love for you to join my free business bootcamp community. We talk about all things business, social selling, whatever your, you know, whatever your sort of little, your pitch is and what is valuable to that person. But like you said, it doesn't come across as like out of the blue, like we've never talked before. And I think when you invite to a free community, this is my call it strategy, or the way that I have really been able to build my community is through that building of a free Facebook group. And I love it. I love being able to provide value, to answer questions, to find out what their questions actually are in a way that isn't me messaging 100 people a day trying to convince them to trust me. I can do that all in my group. So for some people, a group may feel intimidating. And for others, they might be like, oh, wow, that's great. I just find it's a huge time savings to have everyone in one place. And I remember hearing from a couple of different Facebook gurus in the Facebook group sector. And they said that what you want to do in your groups is like, they need to love you and they need to love each other. So that is your number one goal when you're building that, like that Facebook community. But I find that's like a bit of a softer pitch when you start engaging with somebody and getting to know them, and then you invite them to join that group. That's like, I love that strategy. For me, it's like, yeah, it's my bread and butter. It's what I feel really, really comfortable with. How about you? Like, what do you, when you're looking for those people to like start messaging you and getting into that space, do you have a strategy you recommend using or that you like to use?
I love getting really visible. And so I've talked about this before and kind of used the example that if you're walking down the street and you see a hot dog cart, we're going to use that as an example. And you see them every day and you kind of know one day you're hungry, you're going to stop and you're going to get a hot dog because you've kind of got to know them. It's going to be even better if that guy selling the hot dog is like, hey, good morning, how are you? And every day he says hi to you. And then over time you've started talking to them and then you're like, you know what, I really want a hot dog, and you buy it. Whereas if you have some random person on the street corner holding a hot dog and they're like, hey, do you want a hot dog? You'd be like, no, I don't want a hot dog. I don't know where it's been. I don't know what you're, why are you holding a hot dog? You're not going to be as interested in giving them the time of day, right? So being visible and having people see your content and seeing you provide that value ahead of time is going to be really important.
Yeah, I like that because I think that there's this warming up period. And as we sort of started off our conversation, we talked about like, does this ready to buy customer really exist? And even if you're like in the game of wanting to buy a hot dog, like you sort of have, like there's still a process. You're not just going to buy a hot dog from anywhere. Even if you have it on your mind, like, hey, I kind of want a hot dog right now. As you picture yourself walking through whatever it may be, the street, the ball field, like wherever the ball diamond, wherever you are, you're still walking through and observing like each of the hot dog carts, the price, all these questions are going on in your mind as you're like sort of searching like where, like, am I really hungry right now? Like, do I want a hot dog? Like thinking about all those like things, right? Oh, what other options are they here? Are there here, you know? So I really like that example because I think it just does help solidify that, you know, ready to buy customers, there's still a process of convincing and trust and rapport that needs to happen before they're going to be ready to buy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And so I guess around this same theme of finding ready to buy customers, would you say like, what are the key steps in finding these customers? Because I think like, whenever I think about change and somebody becoming ready to buy, there's the theoretical model of change, which talks about, you know, when somebody is not thinking about making any changes in their life, then they move into pre-contemplation, contemplation. Like there's all these stages that they go through before they're actually ready to buy. Mm-hmm. And what I find really interesting is like the ready to buy customers are actually the most expensive ones. So if you set your focus there, like let's say we're talking about, you know, even Facebook ads or things like that, and you're just looking for people that are ready to buy, in the Facebook world, we'd call those most likely conversion ads, right? Mm-hmm. Where you get a sale and you pay for it. Well, those cost way more. In some cases, like if, at least what I've seen, like they can cost like 30 times more, but it can even be more than that. For them to be ready to buy right at the spot, where it, at the point that you want them to buy something. Whereas if you start with them sooner, where you're like, hey, what's your email? You know, you start at that point where you're just starting to build rapport. They are not only much cheaper to acquire, but you then have the opportunity to like build that relationship as you go.
Exactly. Yeah. One of the things we do for our clients, and you kind of briefly mentioned this at the very beginning, but we decrease the cost of ad spend just by, instead of going after that cold audience, we warm the audience up first before we start selling to them. And so we have a complete strategy that we use for our clients, but essentially we're warming up that audience, usually with a video. They get to know your face, they get to know you a little bit first, and then we would run ad specifically to those people who already know who you are to get them to opt in for something free. And then we would sell to them further past that point. But you're still, mm-hmm. you're leading with that value first and warming up the audience. And like you said, just like when you're running conversion ads to a cold audience, it can be super expensive and totally not worth it. So warming that audience up first is really important.
Mm-hmm. This is what I see a lot too with social sellers. They're like, I'm putting my message out there and I'm not getting any engagement. I'm not finding new followers. I think it's interesting, right? Because there's a certain point that you hit where when you're not spending anything on ads, that you're just hitting the same people over and over and over and over again. You're just like bombarding them. And no wonder they're not engaging, right? Because it's like, they've heard your message. They're maybe not your ideal customers. So at what point do you suggest, like when you're starting a business or in your business, that you start focusing on getting new followers? And when, I got two questions around this with new followers, what's the best organic ways and what are the best paid ways?
Yeah. So one of the things that I don't recommend doing ever is paying for followers. Mm-hmm. Having a strategy to get new followers is totally a great idea. But paying for likes on your Facebook page or paying for followers on Instagram nearly never works. And usually affects the algorithm in a horrible way. And you actually see way less reach in your content. So one of the things that we like doing is building those relationships. One of the things that we've heard is when you are marketing, if you go through with the mindset of you're just building relationships, stop focusing on the money, stop focusing on the sell, and just build those relationships up. It's going to be really important when you're creating content. Go from more of a documenting side of things. Like, this is what my day looks like today. And you're talking about what you have to offer, but you're not doing it in a selling kind of way. And so then people are more likely to reach out to you, which we talked about earlier. Again, it's really important. And once you have a strategy organically that's working, then if you just put ads behind it and you're pushing that same strategy out, all you're doing is amplifying it. So if it's already working organically, it's definitely going to work in a paid sense, and you're just going to see better results.
Yeah, I love that you said that, because I think so often people are ready to throw money at ads, but they don't have a strategy that's actually working to convert people. And that's what I see time and time again to be a big waste of money, is that you need to have something that's working so you can amplify it. If nothing's working, and not that it's ever that case that nothing's working, but if you don't have something solid, you're amplifying that, which is something not solid. Exactly. So it's not really getting you, you know, the results that you want. It really does have to be a solid strategy first before you would want to put any ad spend behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And so when it comes to finding or building this strategy around followers, what are some tips that you could give the listeners today on how they might do that?
Yeah. So one of the things that we know works is, so you have to get yourself onto the feeds of other people that aren't following you. And so coming from really focusing on that engagement side of things to get people to engage with you, when somebody engages with your post, their friends are more likely to see that content. And so they're more likely to engage as well. So that's where focusing on that engagement side, or maybe even the entertainment side, because they'll share your content, can be really important. And then just providing pure value. I love coming from a personal side of things. One of the best things I did for my business was get really personal and authentic, because people are more likely to pay attention to my story versus mm-hmm. just me saying, hey, so I do social media for businesses and this is what I can do for you. And it comes across mm-hmm. way less productive than me saying, hey, like, this is how I started my business. This is the struggle I went through recently, and sharing those kind of things. It gets more people engaged, and they're more likely to follow something that they're getting value from when they know that you're not just there to sell them on something.
Mm. And so do you use any other strategies around, so getting on other people's feeds? How do they fall into that strategy for you? Or do you use them for that? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we definitely look at hashtags. What hashtags are your target audience using. One of the things I see all the time is people will use hashtags that are related to their industry, and all they're doing is attracting other people that are doing exactly what they're doing. Yeah. And it's like, oh, like I built up this following, but nobody's going to buy from me because they're all doing what I do.
Yeah.
So you want to go through and use hashtags that your target audience is using. And there's something called the $80 strategy that we love doing. And so the concept behind this is Gary Vaynerchuk's strategy, but he talks about finding the top 10 hashtags that your target audience is using, and then going through and engaging with the top 9 or top most recent 9 posts within that hashtag. And so you do that, you leave your 2 cents on each post, and it equals $1.80. And so by doing that, you're increasing your engagement, you're getting on into the comments of people's feeds, so they're more likely to check you out and follow you and engage with your content. It is an investment in the sense of time, but you're building up those relationships again, and then you're going to see better results.
I love that. Yeah, I think I see a lot of confusion with that, with people knowing which hashtags to use and follow. So I love that, looking at the top 10 hashtags that your ideal customers are actually using. Because I think that it's totally right. I hear that all the time. Social sellers are like, oh, I'm just attracting more health coaches, or I'm just attracting more beauty influencers. And you're exactly right. It's because you're just using the hashtags that are used in the industry. You're not getting beyond that layer of like, what are my ideal people actually talking about and using? Because usually it's like one layer removed from where you're at that exactly. point. Yeah, I love that. Amazing. So Nicole, what is the best way for people to find you, follow you, and to engage with you?
Yeah. So I'm on almost every single social media platform. It comes with the territory of running a social media marketing company, but the business name is AIM Social Media Marketing. And you can look me up, my personal account as well. My parents spelled my name a little funky, so there's an H in my name. they wanted to make sure that all my diplomas were spelled wrong, and I had to reorder everything. It successfully worked. So you got to watch for that, but I'm on every platform that way. And I think you said you would link the website in the show notes, so that way you guys can find it there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. We'll make sure to put all your social media handles in the show notes, as well as your website there, so people can find you. Nicole, I'm going to have you back on the show. We're going to have to dig more into Facebook ads. And I know that that's another area that you're super well versed in. So we'll have to make sure we have another date coming up for you. Thank you so much for all your insight. This was so fun to talk about all things social media marketing. And I know that everyone listening to this podcast today is going to feel super pumped to get out there and start building those relationships with their ideal customers. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a lot of fun.
If you're ready to turn your Beachbody dream into a Beachbody business, I have something super special for you. My 5-day done-for-you posting party will help you overcome the overwhelm of never knowing what to post so you can show up consistently on social, get off the icky hey girl hamster wheel, and finally see more engagement from customers who enthusiastically slide into your DMs to join your next fitness challenge. This party is totally free to join, and we start on July 27th. Head to ashleyshaw.ca/postingparty to sign up now. You'll get 5 totally templated social media posts that work with accountability and camaraderie in our private business bootcamp for fitness coaches group. And that post-workout feeling of accomplishment comes along right with it. See you there. And again, you can head to ashleyshaw.ca/postingparty to sign up now.